Hey guys, so I'm Tristan. If you don't know me, that's okay. I'm actually going to be sharing my testimony with you guys tonight, so you'll know me pretty well. When I was born, my parents were married, and when I was one year old, they actually divorced. And so growing up my whole life, I always knew, I only knew what it was like to have a divorced situation. My mom got full custody of me, so thankfully I still see my dad. I go see him every other weekend. Sorry, I'm a little bit nervous, just to be honest with you guys. There's a lot of you. Yeah, there's a lot of you. We used to live in this place. It was called the Pink House. We called it the Pink House because it was an apartment. It was in a slightly sketchy area, but the Pink House brought light to that. My mom had worked really, really hard to get us out of that area, and we actually moved into another apartment. We moved there. It was really cool. It was a slightly nicer place. My mom eventually started delivering pizzas, and you can actually make a solid amount of money doing that, enough that she was actually able to buy the house that we lived in up till about a month ago. That house is where I was raised, and a lot of great memories there. My mom actually did a lot to teach me about who God is, really do a lot to be two parents within the one household by herself. One day, we were actually in the car. I was about 6 years old at this point. She was having intentional conversations with me about God, always. At this point, I just asked her, I was like, so what do you have to do to be saved? And so she explained to me everything necessary. I said, well, I want to do that. So I accepted Christ at the age of six. I was baptized at Murphy Hill Baptist Church at the age of six after, you know the typical baptism thing. They're going to make sure you know what you're doing. And I'm very confident to this day I knew what I was doing even as a six-year-old. I'm so thankful for that. As an elementary age child, I don't know about you guys, but probably a lot of you have been Christian since then. And, you know, you give everything you can at that age to the Lord, but it doesn't compare to the amount that you should give to the Lord when you're older. All the way through elementary school, I was very diligent in being rooted in Christ to the level that you are at that age. Moving on, fast forward however many years, and middle school. I was super excited about middle school. I don't know about you guys, but as all of you know, middle school is a very strange part of life. I will say there is definitely no exception to that for me. We had which is really disappointing, we had a bad church situation. We were going to a really awesome church down the street. I won't name it, but there were a few individuals that kind of just drove us out of wanting to go there. It was really hard to find another church to really plug into, and we really hadn't. We just kind of visited and didn't have much of a community. What Proverbs 27:17 says about this, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. That's exactly what we were missing, simply having a community. To further explain that verse, iron actually sharpens iron in real life. That is how they make swords, it's how they make tools, all that kind of stuff. So it's similar to the fact that you need, you know, you and a friend, you're going to be better together, and you're going to become sharper in thinking and the way you live when you're together. At this time, I really didn't have that. We had actually moved to Tennessee at this time, and I fit into the new school, and I actually became kind of like the really popular kid, which I don't know about y'all, but I don't consider myself as the popular kid. But their schooling wasn't as advanced as ours. So be thankful you live in Huntsville, because we got a lot of smart people here, and they're making you smart. So that's really good. But I eventually moved back, obviously. But anyways, in this time, I became very selfish. You know, with the whole, like, other people, like, oh, that guy's kind of cool, he's smart, or whatever. And I would start hanging out with a couple of friends who really weren't believers. And we rode bikes all the time, and all I did was hang out with them. I didn't really hang out with my mom that much while I was up there, due to a few reasons. Actually, in 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. So don't worry. Y'all don't have to, like, open up to them. Just going straight through them. But anyways, when I was around those two guys, they weren't particularly bad dudes. They were actually really cool. But the premise of this is Satan is going to try to use anybody who is not on God's side to push you away from God himself. So I don't want to, let me make it very clear, that's not just, don't go hang out with non-believers. You really should hang out with non-believers because, well, we'll get to that in a minute. Jesus makes that very clear. But the whole point is you shouldn't be influenced by them. You should be very, very focused on understanding that Satan will be in those situations. So at this time, Satan really done a really, you could say, good, bad job, however you want to explain. He was persistent in keeping me further from the Lord. I still had faith in the Lord, and I still believed in him, but I just was completely not focused on him. Things really felt pointless in that time, and that's kind of where I was when I moved back and kind of stayed stagnant in that. The one kind of glimmer of hope during this time, I will tell you all this, a really awesome story. I was in seventh grade, and my mother had actually lost her job, and it wasn't for any reasons that it was her fault. The company had some financial issues, and they just had to lay off a lot of people. So during that time, she was obviously very upset. She actually got to work from home, which is something she never got to do before. She's a nurse, and so in nursing, especially if you have a mother or maybe an older sister who does nursing, you know there's a lot of drama in that field, and it's just a very hard working environment. But what I told her is that my favorite verse, Proverbs 3:5, it states, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. It goes on in Proverbs 3, verse 6, saying, in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. I always knew that, even during this kind of harder time for me, not being as focused on God. But, mom was, of course, still a little bit upset. But it definitely made lighter the situation. And what was really awesome is 4 months later, my mom actually got an opportunity to work for United Healthcare, which is a very, very well-known insurance company. And she gets to work from home. She makes even better money. And God really just showed himself. I knew that God just was going to make that situation glorify him, and he surely did. So I'm so thankful for that. Just glad I got to share that with you guys. All right. Okay. So I don't know about you guys, but we'll get to that in a minute. We'll get into that in a minute. So anyways, you know how, I finally finished middle school, and I'm about to go into my first day of class in ninth grade. This was a very exciting time for me. I was not that nervous, honestly, especially not as nervous as I am right now, but I was not that nervous. So it's first day, go in, you know how it is. You got to, like, sit in the back of the classroom, especially when, you got the new, I was a Sparkman kid, So you got the new Monrovia kids, and you're like, okay, I got to impress these guys, especially since I was still in that kind of, like, selfish state. You know, same for you Monrovia kids who come in, you're like, I don't know who these Sparkman weirdos are, but I'm gonna try to impress them too. So anyways, I come in, I sit in the back of the classroom, like, all right, this is gonna be cool. There was actually another desk behind me, and a friend of mine now, she came and sat down. Her name's Ariel Cunningham, and then kind of here to the weird diagonal, my other friend Riley sat there. So they just start talking to each other, all good friends. There's a couple of Monrovia kids. I did not know them at the time. And so I'm an extrovert, if y'all don't know that. I could talk to that wall for a while. So I just decided, you know, this, whatever, I'm just going to start talking to them. So I turn around in my chair and start talking to them. They were really cool. We always talked before class because that teacher was really awesome and didn't check his emails for like 20 or 30 minutes every morning. No, seriously, Coach Hughes, he's great. One day, Ariel had actually brought her Bible into class, and she set it on her desk. I found that very interesting, and I thought about it for a little bit. Eventually, I asked her, I said, so why do you have your Bible? And she just explained, hey, one of my youth pastors had mentioned that we should maybe try bringing our Bible to class and maybe we could have a biblical conversation with somebody. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. You know, me being, I'm like Christian, but you know, kind of been a little bit pushed away just for a few things. I started going to First Priority. If y'all don't know what that is, it's like a very, very short church thing at school, which is really awesome. Her and a couple of other people said, hey, why don't you come to Greenhouse? And I'm like, Greenhouse? What's that? I'm not into plants, okay? I'm like allergic to grass. So they're like, oh, well, it's our Wednesday night church thing. And I'm like, oh, okay, I can do that. That sounds cool, to a degree. So, I've done this before. I've been to a church, and, you know, it's like maybe like 12 people sitting in a circle and like some adult over there maybe doing a little worship song. And then they start talking about some story I've heard a million times as an elementary age child. And, you know, the whole time they think they're like super cool or whatever, you know. Kind of like me right now. I'm just kidding. Anyways, you know, I was just like, okay, I'll definitely go because I knew that I hadn't been in part of a church for a long time, and I knew that there could only be benefit from it. So I told my mom, she brought me up there, and I go into the chapel. That's where I knew I was supposed to go, and there was no chairs. Yeah, there's no chairs. There's about 12 people in the room. And I was like, okay, it's about what I expected. And then all of a sudden, these double doors on both sides of this room open up. I start seeing, like, all these people walking in. I'm like, wait, I know that person. And that person, what have I been missing out on? So people start coming in. I'm floored with how many people are here. And exceeded my expectations on that. Got to sit on the floor, which at this point with this many people, I'm like, that's kind of weird, but okay, I get it. So we sit on the floor, and this guy named Britton comes and gets on stage, which all of you know. He gives a really good sermon, and a lot of it was pointing towards actually working on your personal relationship with God and having a personal relationship with Him, doing a devotional, praying consistently, all the stuff I hadn't been doing for quite a number of years at this point. So, you know, still shocked, really cool. The worship team was great. So, you know, they finish up, and then that's when I found out what the Chapel of Commons was. They were like, yeah, there's this, like, cafe-looking place over here if you want to come hang out. I start walking that way, and then I see Britton, and he sees me, and he's like, hey, dude, what's your name? And I'm just like, I'm Tristan. You were the guy that was just speaking up there. That's really cool. Why are you talking to me? And anyways, he was just super nice. He gave me his number that day. I don't know who gives their number to some ninth grader randomly, but props to you, Britton, for being that awesome. Anyways, so Matthew 5:16 says, Jesus says in Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Ariel, Riley, Britton, all of them did that. All of them let their light shine before me, and it really brought me closer to God, ultimately. So, you know, I keep on going to Greenhouse for a little while longer. I think it was like my third week. I loved it. And there's this guy named Andrew Barnes, and he did the same thing as Britton. He gave me his number. Super cool. Like, at the time, I think he was a junior or maybe a senior. And I was like, okay, this is too cool. Hanging out with, like, a junior, senior guy, and I'm a freshman, and he's, like, giving me his phone number. I'm not even asking, like, what did I do special? Made me feel really good, and I was just so thankful for that. Him showing his light before others. After this, I started really pursuing my relationship with God. Greenhouse really gave me a platform to do this on. Started doing my devotions out of this book I had for a long time. It's called Jesus Calling. And I just started becoming more focused on him. If y'all have not been on a trip, I'm very sorry. You need to fix that very soon by going to DNOW. DNOW was actually my first trip, and life-changing, to say the least. So I've been going on all the trips. My favorite thing by far, which I'm about to talk about it later. But anyways, I met a lot of really awesome friends, Christian, Reed. I can't even name them all right now. There's just too many of them. But I met a lot of y'all, and I'm just so thankful for those relationships that have been eternally impactful, I fully believe. One day, you know, I had been enjoying coming to Greenhouse so much, I decided, you know, I'm going to tell Mom and my stepdad about this. So I talked to them, and they decided that they were going to come on Sunday mornings, and so we all came. Really awesome just time where I believe we all started focusing more on God, especially myself. I can't say how thankful I am to God for allowing us to be part of this body of believers. One thing I acknowledge God's sovereignty in this whole situation. If I hadn't have had this these conversations with Ariel and Riley and had the friendship with them, if I hadn't have come to Greenhouse, if I hadn't have been approached by Britton and Andrew, I really don't think I would have been at this point of growth that I am now spiritually, and I'm so thankful to God for that. So now I'm going to tell you all about trips. Trips are my favorite part of, like, all the student ministry. Here's trips. Here's Greenhouse. Like, it's really close. And then, if y'all don't know, like, I really like mountain biking, like, a whole lot. Mountain biking's, like, here. So, I'm just to put that into perspective for you guys. And I know most of y'all know how it is. But anyways, so my whole life, I was always very much like, you know, I want to be an engineer. Ever since second grade, there was like, it's like career day. Some dad came in there talking about how he builds missiles. And I was like, that's cool. I'm going to do that. In 12th grade, I was still planning on doing that. A decision I made in second grade. Anyways, moving on, I graduated, still was on the engineering thing, go to Calhoun, go to UAH, it's a great plan, but we were on our very last mission trip. When I say very last, I was a senior at this point, and it was the last trip I was going to be taking with Mount Zion as a student. I knew that was coming, and I was a little bit saddened by that, but also excited for the new chapter in my life. But when I was there, I was just so pumped. You know, you don't have, like, really any responsibilities chores-wise. All you have to do is take care of yourself, eat, drink water. But more importantly, you need to focus on your relationship with God and read the Bible and pray. Like, this is great. That's all you got to do. And just be nice to other people. It's fantastic. So this is my favorite thing to do. And it hit me. And I was like, it was just in the thought. We're just walking to, like, our dorms or whatever. And it was like, why would you not do this for the rest of your life? At that point, I started feeling a strong call to full-time ministry. Looking back on my life, I always started to feel that, but never really felt it on any kind of extreme like I had at this point. So I had talked to my friend Reed. I talked to my friend Sydney a little bit before, and I was just like, so this kind of just happened, and it's really weird, and it's kind of freaking me out because for 10 years I've been expecting to be an engineer, you know. I just decided, you know, it's time to talk to Britton. It never really went away after a couple of days. By the end of that conversation with Britton, I definitely felt a lot of verification. Apparently, he wasn't surprised. And I was just very thankful for that. Could flip my page over now. That's where I am now. I am 6 months later from that trip, talking in front of you guys. I'm less nervous at this point than I was 15 minutes ago or whenever I came up here. But in closing, there's a few more things I definitely want to say. Having a community and having accountability and everything, having hopefully a church that you actually attend and really get a lot out of is what Proverbs 27:17 once again states, iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. And if you don't have that, then you can really fall into not really having any focus on God and really having no direction for your life. So where I was in Tennessee when I was a middle schooler, I guess I kind of had a community of non-believers around me. It's a couple of dudes I'd hang out with, and they were, like, good guys. They were, you know, they did the, like, they didn't cuss. They always did their chores, you know, all the good stuff. But they really just ultimately didn't believe in God. And when I was hanging out with them, I just kind of got wrapped up in all the worldly things. And 1 Corinthians 15:33 warns us, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. And they weren't bad people, but by the standards of you're saved or you're not saved, they were not saved, which puts them on that side. And to clarify that, you do not need to not hang out with non-believers. You should hang out with non-believers. Jesus said, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they might see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. That's Matthew 5:16. Guys, be a light before others. That's exactly what we're called to do. But don't let bad influences influence you, influence them. So hope and pray that you guys have gotten some encouragement out of this. I'm getting nervous again. Why is this? Yeah. I want to encourage and push everybody towards read your Bible every day, pray, you know, focus on God. Nothing else matters without that. I promise you it's worth it. So if you not accepted Christ into your life and you might have been thinking about it or you're just completely just don't know about it, maybe don't think about it, if that's you, I want you to know the God of the universe, who created you, me, Everybody in this room, everything wants to have a personal relationship with you and wants to live in perfect eternity with you, just as he designed us to live. He sent Jesus to pay the price for our sins, which we did not deserve, but I'm just so thankful for that. And I want to leave you with this. If you'll think logically with me here for a minute, obviously something got us here. You didn't just start existing for no reason. So my point is, I believe it's the priority, it should be the priority, and it's definitely the responsibility of each human being to figure out why they're here and what their purpose is. So if you want to go on ahead and ask us some questions about that, me, JJ, Britton, all your small group leaders, they're all here to have those conversations with you guys, to answer your questions about why we're here, why you're here, what's your purpose in life.